Well, I know last week we were talking about tohu, things being chaotic, out of order. And even the earth that we live in is out of order and chaotic because of sin. And last week we talked about tohu and things being, you know, out of order, chaotic. And let's face it, we live in a world of tohu, and we live around people that got their stuff, you know. But thankfully, we have a God who can bring shalom or peace out of chaos. And so I want to begin just for reading a psalm. I think that's a good thing to get our minds focused on how great God is, you know, right from the very beginning. So Psalm 150 is short. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the word, Lord, in prayer here. Father in heaven, thank you for getting us through this stormy night. And Father, we do pray for those around the area here who may have experienced some damage to their homes. Help them to cope with that. Father, we got a wet basement here this morning. So we pray, Lord, we can get this dried out quickly and that we could find, you know, remedy, you know, to this recurring situation. Father, I'm thankful for this study and for Ray Vangelon and the gift of teaching that you've given this man. His hunger for your word. His Father, we're the beneficiaries of it. And so, Father, please help us to get something good today out of this lesson so that we can be better prepared to serve you better. And, Father, that way maybe we can go out and actually be those who cultivate shalom, cultivate peace in the life of others, however that may be and what that may look like, I don't know. But you've called us to do that. Please just bless this time we have, and thank you for everyone here. And Lord, you're so good, and you're so mighty to be praised. We want to do that with our hearts, with our lives, with our voices, everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so since we've pretty much done this from, I think, the first lesson, good morning, Karen. Well, I didn't mean to signal you out there, like, you know, oh, you're late to class or something.
You can't sneak in
the
room. No, I just
wanted
to.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, last night I stepped out on the porch, trying to be storming, and you couldn't tell where the sidewalk ended and the street started.
Yeah. My granddaughter last night, she was upset. She spent the night with us. And so when the storms and everything, we're watching television. And one time, you know, we took her down in the basement and everything because they said there's a tornado warning. And
And they kept extending it out. It was supposed to have been over by 9:15, and it probably went on up to after 11 last night.
She knew something. She's 4 years old. She knew something was out of order. She sensed that, and it scared her. And so we were trying to comfort her. My wife was holding her, and I was talking to her. It's going to be okay. You know, we're not going to let anything happen to you. We're just going to, you know, trust Jesus. We'll pray to him, you know, help us get through this storm and everything. And okay. But after the storm passed and everything, you know, the, I guess you say the amount of tohu she had right there and there, you know, the chaos in her little life and the anxiety and everything. When I said, the storm's over, the tornado warnings are gone, it has passed through, she just goes, okay. And she was ready to go upstairs and go to bed then. You know, there was peace in her little heart from that point on. And I thought, wow, that is what we want for lives. I don't know about you. I like peace in my life.
Yes.
I like calmness. I like peace, you know. And I'm thankful for Jesus, you know, the one who came so that we could have peace with a whole family. And so let's go ahead and quote the Shema. And I won't ask you to say it in Hebrew, but let's do it in English. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. I know this episode is called the Shalom. Mark 4:35, and we'll learn this in the lesson, and Ray, he will expound on it more. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." There's some really deep meaning there, which he will get into. If you will turn to, what page is that? Anyway, it's the introduction. And page 102, there it is, my eyesight. I finally picked up the little gray thing there in the bottom here. If I could have someone read, all the first three paragraphs of the introduction, that would be great.
Okay. It's easy for modern Christians to assume that Israel was full of hard-hearted people in Jesus' day. Jesus spent plenty of his time rebuking the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders for their hypocrisy, for failing to lead the people as the good shepherds they were meant to be. But for the most part, the people were extremely serious about their faith. Not long before this time, they had been in exile for failing to obey the Lord. They had returned to their land and rebuilt the temple, only to be oppressed by the Greeks and then the Romans. The Jews of Jesus' day were passionately waiting for the Messiah to come, and they were determined to obey God to the best of their ability. In the Old Testament, the Lord demanded that Israel remain separate from other nations in many ways. They understood that God wanted them to stay as far away from Tohu as they possibly could. But by the time Jesus was teaching, the Jews were determined to separate themselves from the Gentiles and from the chaos of the Roman Empire. Is that enough? Or do you want me to read more?
You can stop there. Someone else want to finish up that section?
But if Jesus is Messiah, who was promised, the God made flesh, who has come to restore us all, then he isn't going to stay away from Tohu. He is going to engage it. In the last episode, we talked about what this is, what it means to be a disciple, to partner with Jesus in missions. However, Jesus demonstrates to the followers that they supposed to engage Tohu without being overcome by it. Let's begin today's episode and find out.
Okay. This next question here, I'm going to talk about it. And then we'll go there and then we can watch the video here. This is really a hard question. It was for me. I think it's a necessary question. The Jews of Jesus' day wanted absolutely nothing to do with the Gentiles around them. As you consider the people in your life, are there any groups or individuals you really don't want to engage with? Discuss as a group. There's people that I don't see eye to eye with. There's people that look different than me. They believe different than me. And it's hard to deal with people, okay, sometimes like that. We shouldn't, or I shouldn't, but, I remember the first time I went into a prison to talk to inmates about Jesus. It wasn't the usual crowd that I hung with. They were people that had committed crimes, some very serious in nature. And I was a little bit nervous, apprehensive. could use the word fearful, because when they shut those big iron gates up, it got really real quick. Okay, but I made a decision, I'm going to go in there. This is what helped me. Went out to the prison yard, and so we were waiting on these gentlemen to come out here. It was at Lebanon Correctional Institute. I prayed. And maybe, you know, and I'm thinking you have, when something's a little overwhelming, do you start to pray? Yeah, I did. And I asked Jesus this. I said, help me to love these people the way that you do. That was it. Okay. And so they start coming out. And so I started shaking hands with these guys that came out. And I found out something really quick. They're flesh and blood human beings just like me. They were breathing. They were talking. They were looking around. They were willing to engage in conversation. Okay? Not to say that they didn't deserve to be there. I remember a long time ago, I heard a guy who was a prison chaplain. He goes, you know, I have more in common with the guys I minister to than a holy God, because I'm a sinner also. Yeah. You know, and it kind of stuck with me a little bit. So, yeah, it can be hard. Does anyone have trouble maybe sometimes engaging with people for different reasons?
People I find that have trouble engaging with are those that are the most different from me. Not necessarily in look, but mentally, spiritually. Like, I've gone past a group of people and by their language, attitude, and the way they act. I'll just say a group of bikers, for example. They may or may not be on drugs at the time, and I don't want to say fantasize, but that's as good a word as any. That's not the right one, but where I create personalities and attitudes and actions that they wouldn't and getting involved in with me, which would be negative and I wouldn't like. So I tend to stay away from them instead of walking up and potentially witnessing them, which is what I was told to do.
And I do too. I mean, it's hard to really trust somebody that you walk up to or meet out on the street or whatever, because of the way the world is today.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to trust them. You never know if somebody's going to pull a gun on you or whatever.
Well, he's
going Billy to... had a gun pulled on him over at the building about a year after they had that shooting over there. So, yeah.
But we live in an evil world, and the people during Jesus' time, and you'll learn this in there in the video here. Their idea was just stay away from certain people, just isolate. Okay, and so when Jesus decided to get in the boat and go to the other side,
right,
it was a little wow. What are we doing?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't understand that. That's the only thing. Well, I didn't understand that. And then when they said he went like he is, and I didn't understand that either. But I don't mind being around people.
All right.
I'm not really bothered by it.
Yeah.
They're people. I mean, you know, they have their wants and their dislikes, and I think that they have their feelings and emotions like we do. They just made very wrong choices and making wrong choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I should be fearful, I think, sometimes, but don't seem to be.
Well, I mean, like perfect love casteth out fear. And yeah. So, you know, if you love people, you want to tell them the truth, you want to get to know them, you want to engage them. But it can be difficult, because here's the thing, you're going, you know, you're coming out of your comfort zone into the unknown. How are they going to react?
Yeah.
What are they going to say?
Like here about a month ago, I have Max outside when I'm out there.
Yeah.
My dog. And he sees somebody, he'll want to run and jump up on the plane real friendly. Right. But certain people go down that street and he starts growling and barking at them.
Right.
I had one guy come down through there about a month ago, and Max started growling at him. And I called Max back to the house. He said, good thing you got him, or I'd take him out of here.
Right. Well, we want to be type of people, maybe, you know, like a the nice, friendly Max who runs up to people and wants to engage with them and be their friend. And we don't want to be the other side of Max who wants to run and, you know, bark
and
attack them, you know. So let's watch the video.
It's amazing how a dog can sense whether a person is good or bad.
Yeah.
In a way.
He senses things. That's right.
Well, let me see if I can get this thing.
Well, even when the guy was passing by, he had a book bag on his own, and you could smell the pot coming from him.
Okay.
That's one step you cannot deny.
The Bible is the record of God bringing shalom to literally hundreds of situations. God has been up to this from the beginning, and what we're doing is joining in to become his partner in the greatest story ever told. This was the weirdest creation story they'd ever heard. God starts the Bible like this. In the beginning,
Randy's expertise will now be demonstrated.
Mercy. I'm going to have to go get Nate here.
David's right around the corner.
I had to get me.
I'll go get him for you.
Yeah, maybe here somehow, God. I mean, okay.
This is the same one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to try and get to...
I'd like to help you, but I can't.
I appreciate that.
So, don't worry, you're not being judged. You're being watched in awe.
All of that. It takes me to there. Hey! Maybe you can help me get to the right one here.
Right episode. We need to get on the right episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's on the DVD player.
We have to go forward one episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to go to the DVD menu. Is that it?
Yeah, it could be. I want to make sure that we're in. Okay, so we're there.
And that's the DVD player here?
Yeah, that's it.
And it's the disc is in and all that
the
stuff.
The disc is in.
Yeah,
the
disc and everything's all right. It's just that when we.
He just has to go forward with the episode.
When he started it, it came on last week's, and we need this week's.
Okay, and this is the thing?
This is the thing.
So
you have to point it at the DVD player. Learn that.
So if you select DVD, does it go?
There it is. HDMI 3.
It's not going.
Player at the DVD.
You were playing something a second ago. What was that?
Yeah, that was the DVD player. I mean, it was the...
Well, put it on the DVD player, then try to get it going.
Did you turn on the... I think, okay.
Okay, yes, that's good. You start there.
Is it? Looking for signal. Maybe I turned it off. How do you know it's on? There's no... How do you know this thing is functioning? Huh?
That's right up.
That's it. That's not...
Okay, so it said it was loading.
Okay.
Maybe we should go get Owen.
Well, Nate knows how to operate this really well.
Isn't that the truth? Somebody, yeah.
And he had it set up, and then we pressed the button, and it went.
Say that's last week's.
Now, I guess is there like a menu or something we can go to?
Yeah.
Or if you watch last week's again.
We could. Because you didn't get it.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, now we need a few more episodes. I'm sorry, I need to go ahead. I'm, like, oh, I'm so excited that there it is again.
I just saw Jesus.
Okay.
We're on the
now. That's what we want, number 10 there, David. So if we can go up to that or come down. Hit that.
That's
it.
This title menu.
Okay.
Which I think is the same as pop-up.
Pop-up.
Not 9. It looks like it's 9. It's not 9. It's line 2.
All right. I can
make order or shalom.
Thank you.
Chaos. The humans are his instruments. And no story greater than
your raise is
than the story of Jesus.
I need a glass of that offering.
Yeah, for the human.
Anyway, I did watch this a few times. This was really good.
I think one of the most profound stories in the life of Jesus is his baptism. We have the water representing chaos. We have Jesus in his humanity coming and stepping off the bank into the chaos, not standing on the bank and talking about it or addressing it, but actually stepping into it. So Jesus becomes, as our teacher, our rabbi, our mentor, if you will, Jesus becomes an illustration that we need to not stand on the bank and shout at people in tohu. What we need to do, like Jesus, is to get off the bank and down into the churning tohu of the chaos of our world in order to be God's shalom. By my calculation, most of Jesus' teaching in the Bible, other than what he does the last week in Jerusalem, takes place in Galilee. This is the province of Galilee. That's where religious Jews live. They shunned anything they thought would bring tohu. So they wouldn't eat with sinners. They wouldn't touch unclean people, not because they were cold and hard and didn't care, but because they learned in the Hebrew Bible, God doesn't want us to be involved with tohu. So stay away from tohu. But if Jesus is the God-man that's promised to restore tohu to shalom, then he is going to engage chaos. Turn in your gospel, if you would, please. How does Matthew begin this story?
When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake.
Okay, stop. Now, in English, that simply means let's cross the sea. But to the audience of the first century, there's more to it than that, because they thought of themselves as, this is our side. The other side is where people are different from what we are. It's a much more Greek and Roman. Everything is huge. Everything is modern. Very sexual rituals. And, of course, watch it, the arena. To the Jew, this is chaos. So when Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side, I think they had a significant reaction. We don't go there. That is tohu country. You could say he's God, so he knows what's coming. He's God, so he isn't going to sin. And I would grant all of that and praise the Lord that it's true. And then I would stop you a moment and say, but he was every bit as human as you are. Where temptations were just as real to him as they were to you. What on earth is Jesus going to do there? You have to feel the tension of the disciples' minds of why would Jesus want to go there when he said, let's go to the other side. Let's go back to the story. Would you share Mark's account?
Yeah. He said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with them. A furious swirl came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped.
Stop. Where else have you heard this story before? Where have you heard of a guy that got in a boat and a storm came and the sailors fought the storm and then the sailors said to the guy who was sleeping on a cushion in the bottom of the boat, don't you care if we drown? This is Jonah. This is a reenacting of the Jonah story. Very similar details. But think about the difference. Where is Jonah going when he gets into the storm? Away from the mission, away from the tohu. Jonah doesn't want anything to do with Nineveh. Nineveh is ISIS. Nineveh is Al-Qaeda. Nineveh is the terrorists who want to kill our servicemen and women in the east. We hate the Assyrians. They have butchered tens of thousands of us. You think I want God to forgive Nineveh? You got to be crazy. I want him to roast them and kill them all. And I'm willing to die. So he doesn't spare Nineveh. So he gets in the boat and he goes away from the mission. He avoids the tohu. He doesn't want to bring shalom. In fact, if you read the story, he does everything he can to prevent the mission from happening. He identifies chaos, but he refuses to engage it. He doesn't want shalom to come to those evil people he thinks are next to him. A storm comes, he gets thrown overboard, a big fish swallows him, then the fish vomits him out, he's covered with yuck, but he's okay. So now he says, okay, God, I'll go. Here's the sermon he preaches. 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be damned to hell. Now notice, he doesn't tell them what they did wrong. He doesn't tell them what they should do to prevent it. It's like he's doing everything he can to sabotage the message so they won't repent. And then Jonah tells God why he ran away. He says, I know you. You are a shalom bringer. You are merciful. You love to forgive. And I can't live with a God who forgives his enemies. In fact, I can't live with a God who forgives my enemies. Where Jonah refused the mission, Jesus, knowing the chaos on the other side of the sea, goes anyway. So Jesus lands there, and he meets this guy. The man came up to Jesus, and he saw Jesus and began to shout at him. He is absolutely unclean. He's in a tomb. He's oozing body fluids, both because he cut himself and because the chains that he would break that they put on him. Imagine how much people despised him or thought he was disgusting that they would chain him up. He's living with an area where there are pigs, which throughout Scripture represent what is unclean, and he's possessed by a legion of demons. Doesn't matter to Jesus. He looks at this absolute tohu as you could be in light of what the Hebrew Bible says. And Jesus recognizes chaos. He engages that chaos. And by the power he had as God, he begins to cultivate shalom. What I wanted you to see is the disciples never get out of the boat. Only Jesus does. I don't think they wanted to be in contact with that kind of tohu. They had been taught their whole lives, don't touch unclean things like pigs, like demons, like naked people, like people who are in tombs, don't touch dead bodies. And they didn't want anything to do with it. But maybe they felt bad for the guy, but they wanted nothing to do with it. That was one of the most convicting moments in my discipleship journey, where I realized how easy it is to walk away from tohu. See, you will have that option too. Your mission, as we get into discipleship,
is to become part of God's great program of sending you to identify chaos in people, in creation, to engage it, big or small, and by His grace and power, through your participation, to begin to bring shalom to that chaos. Disciples are people who say, where's the tohu, and can I do anything to cultivate shalom? Every time you spend 5 minutes with somebody who eats alone, and every time you bring lunch to a homeless person or a hungry person, and every time you take a moment to put a card in somebody's pack that says, I'm praying for you, every time you take 5 minutes for your grandma, even though you've got things that would be a lot more fun to do, every time you spend 3 minutes with somebody in tohu, you're part of something that is the biggest thing that's ever happened since creation. Will you choose to go away, or will I choose to go into? Jesus left the shalom of heaven, came down to earth sinless. He could have stood on the bank and shouted at those in the water, in the chaos of life, but He didn't. He came and He was born in 3 feet of sheep manure, representing all the chaos of a broken world. That's an invitation to those who would imitate Him, disciples in other words, to say, are you willing to step off the bank into the chaos of the water? Not simply as pastors and missionaries and youth workers, but as lawyers and teachers and electricians, and do it with a passion to follow Jesus, just the way that original 12 disciples did in Jesus' day.
Well, at least I knew how to turn it off.
Good, Randy.
I guess that's some progress. Anyway, thoughts?
I didn't think about that the disciples didn't get out of the boat. I didn't bring my Bible because I read a lot in the message, and then I have my other study Bible, but I'm not bringing the boat. So I'm going to have to reread that. I didn't know that. You know how you can read and just see
the
goes right past.
Well, you just saw them and think, oh, they got to be with Him. They're always with Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I happen to, because I know we learn a lot out of the ESV, so maybe I want to read this only because if anyone had tohu in his life, it was this poor guy. He was in bad shape. Okay. So Mark 5, they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. That would kind of lead me not to want to get around a guy like that. Okay, he's scary. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones, because he was in such pain, such anguish. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned into the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. This is a great line right here from the Bible. It's from God's word, and it's just so sweet. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. The tohu was gone. Shalom was now there. The man was at peace. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And he was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Boy.
You know, and that was so sweet.
He has a purpose for everything. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know later on the disciples, I mean, they went places and they engaged tohu. You know, they wanted to tell people there was peace that you can have in this life, and most assuredly the life to come if you just trust Jesus. And so, you know, he didn't tell the rest of the story there. You know, he said some great things there, but I thought, my goodness, I need to know what happened to that guy. You know, because that was just a marvelous work of God there. And then Jesus says, you go back. You go to your people who you live with, and you tell them what I've done. I got a feeling he did. You know, got a feeling he did. You know,
because you think about it, when he went back, he was clean and everything. And so, yeah.
Who are you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But
what happened to you?
When he first left there, he was probably filthy, dirty, and everything. And people judged him. But yet.
He should have had a few scars.
Should have had what?
A few scars from his past.
Oh, I'm sure he did, because he cut himself. And you know, I think one of the most terrible things you hear is about people who will cut themselves. The anguish and things that are going on, and you know, it's just such a sad thing, especially in teens. I mean, they will cut themselves, you know, for whatever reason, because they're in pain.
It's usually replacing an emotional pain with a physical pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's addictive because you get a dopamine ping when you do it, so it takes you back.
They're trying to cope in some way, shape, or form there, and then. Mental pain into physical pain.
There's so many different things in that story. You can go on and on.
You can.
That story. I mean, one thing was that storm came up when Jonah was fleeing from the tohu. A storm came up and Jesus was embracing and going towards the tohu.
Yeah.
And another thing is the pigs couldn't tolerate what that man could.
Yeah.
They wanted to kill themselves.
Right to the sea and drown himself.
I always think of the pigs because I think, okay, what farmer just lost 2,000 pigs?
Yeah.
Or if they're wild pigs, how scary is that? 2,000 scary wild pigs.
Yeah.
Right, because then they're like, would you leave? You know, those running the herdsmen, would go, you know.
And the other thing was the townspeople were scared of the... whatever they called the guy that was in the tombs. But then when the Shalom came, they were still scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
My question is, where did the demons go when the pigs died?
Where did the demons go?
Well, one would hope so. What about throughout the country?
Well, I'm not going to...
We'll leave that.
I'm going to let that one go because I don't know.
Well, I just asked.
That's a good question.
A lot of live fish around Yeah.
Maybe they went back to where they started at. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's where they went. You know, but they weren't in that man anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe they searched out for somebody else to get into.
Well, I'm looking at that man. I'm just marveling and thankful for what God did for him.
Yes.
You know, that's a good thing. And so I know there's some questions here on page 104. What do you think the other side is?
Chaos.
Yeah, tohu, disorder.
Decapolis.
Yeah. Decapolis was an area of, I think it was about 10 different cities on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and with strong Roman and Greek influence. And so he hit upon that, just how, you know, they were into a lot of stuff that the God's people, the Hebrew people, weren't into and didn't want to be a part of. Which, stay on our side, you stay on your side. Okay. So Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go on the other side. They were like, why are we, you know, they may have, and I can't speak for them, but my reaction would have been, why? Why are we going over there? And Jesus shows them why, you know. Jonah's approach to tohu.
Running away.
Run away from it. Go the other direction.
He didn't agree with it, didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
My way is best.
First thing that came to my mind when he said that he just wanted God to destroy them and get rid of them is the situation we have today with Iran. How many times have us Christians look at that country and go, I wish Trump would just get it over with and get rid of them and destroy them? But time and time again, he offers them a way out if there is a way out.
You know what? Yeah, Judy.
I have watched TV shows. This, not now, but I have, and it hasn't been that long ago, that when I'm watching TV and the bad guy gets dead so quickly, I get upset because he didn't suffer. I have done that. Now,
yeah.
I tend now when I'm watching TV, I say, oh, God, thank you, you know, or ooh, you know, but I'm saying, but I notice now with stupid TV shows, and I say, oh, well, thank you.
Well, I've never had that happen to me. Look at a TV show, get so involved, it's like, do you think it's real or life or something? And, yeah, that's happened to me several times.
No, it happened to like one of those that this is based on a true story, then yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is that. And it makes you angry, and you want justice, and justice is a good thing, but mercy's
best.
Okay. Just talk about Iran and everything and the difficulty. I know a lot of the people over there, and I kind of know firsthand, but I know a lady whose family is in Iran. They are Iranians. And I know the anguish that she feels, and I'll ask her every once in a while, have you heard from your family? Not in the last couple weeks. Not in the last month or so. They're not soldiers. They're not part of the evil regime. There's citizens there that are having to live under bad conditions. And you see a side, you know, and she goes, and she talks to me, and she goes, thank you for asking about them, because there's a lot of people, if I say I'm from Iran, or my family's from Iran, they automatically don't want anything to do with me, or don't talk to me, or they, you know, because of war with them. And so, let's see here. Jesus approached to tohu.
He steps into it to cultivate shalom.
That's it. Yeah, he goes into it to cultivate shalom. So, we're running close to time here, I do believe here. Might be a couple more questions that we can look at. At this point, as we wrap up season one, I'm hoping, I don't know for sure if we're going to go to season two or not. How would you describe the mission of a disciple?
People dependent.
What's that?
Tell people the good news.
Tell people the good news?
Yeah, to confront Tohu.
To confront Tohu and be someone who brings shalom. Brings peace to people. And it goes on, as an electrician, how might someone bring shalom into his or her daily life? How about a teacher, an accountant? How about someone in your role or profession? The pastor says something, and I know we got to get, you know, finished here. If you remember his sermon, he talked a couple weeks ago about I'm the pastor, but you are the. Do you remember what he said? Because he kind of reached out his hand to all of us. I'm the pastor, but you are the ministers. You are the ministers. You are to do the work of the ministry. Okay, you are to do that. And that kind of, you know, that stuck with me. And he hit upon it. I thought Ray did a little bit there also. So we think of ministry, you know, as, you know, it's something spiritual. Yes, but it takes so many different forms. And he starts mentioning things here. Having lunch or with someone, sitting down talking to someone, giving them a card, an encouragement card. You know, we talk about many times, you know, Jesus wants us to be his hands and feet. You know, what does that mean? What does that look like? I think what for me it means this. I see someone that may have a need whose life, you know, may have some tohu in it, and most likely it does, since everyone does have their stuff. I walk towards them and I wrap my arms around them and say, I love you. How can I be a help to you? How can I do it? What does it look like? I don't know. Okay? But I think that's what Jesus wants us to do. I know that's what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's how this church is going to be built. How it, you know, we go through this whole revitalization process. That's how it's going to grow. Is that we reach out to people.
Like it was when you reached out to Bill and I. But
he was passing away with cancer. Yeah, it means crossing over to the other side.
Yeah.
So that's what got me right, you know, that's what I'm going to take over, you know, every day. Randy, are you willing to cross to the other side? Are you willing to engage Tohu? And it's not that I love Tohu. I like calmness. I like peace. But again, I want everyone else to have that also.
Yeah.
And so if I can say, hey, let me tell you about the Prince of Peace. What he's done for me, not that I don't have issues and not that I don't have my difficulties and I don't have my stuff, but you know what? I believe in the guy who's died and rose again. He saved me from my sins, and the guy who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to go to the one that says, you know, there's a very present help in time of need. I'm going to go to him. You can too. Mm-hmm. I'm not preaching a little bit, but. You know.
But that meant a lot to both Bill and I when you reached out to us.
Well,
I mean, it was just...
I love people.
It was a couple hours, but still, that couple of hours meant a lot to us.
Well, I'm grateful for that. And it's God.
Yeah.
Because I love people because God has given me that ability to love people. Because when I was younger, I didn't care that much for people. I like to be isolated. I like to be left alone and just let me do my thing. You do your thing. Mm-hmm. But then, you know what? The closer I've gotten to Jesus, the more he says, hey, go with me. Let's engage in someone's toe. Let's see what we can do. You know. And at the same time, don't be part of it yourself.
Right.
Okay.
You know, when God, when I realize that God is the lover of my soul, I love that. And I think when we're looking at people, we just think them as people. We forget that they have souls.
Amen.
And where are their souls at, too? You know, I believe in this self-sacrifice. I never liked that. But when I think of the reality of what self-sacrifice is, that's when you really don't feel like calling that person, or you really don't want to do this or that, do it anyway. That's self-sacrifice. It's not dying or anything. You know what I'm saying? And we don't tend to do that. We just get on with what we're doing, and we'll do that later. That's the terrible thing. Yeah. Being procrastinate all later. Well, and later doesn't come. Because you're too busy with the other things that are happening.
That's why they say don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
We should have a heart for people. You know, that's it. You know, and we do.
Yeah.
Okay, but we can get sidetracked. With things. I want to tell you this story quickly, and that's a good story. Many, many years ago, I went with Pastor Tad Hobart, who will come in with Vivian and everything. And I was, he was my pastor there for years. And he poured a lot into me and everything. And I appreciate, love him so much here and Vivian. But we went one day to visit some contacts we had, because we were going to have like a kids' party at church. And so we were going around to some kids who had been to vacation Bible school and everything and giving out invitations. So we went to this one household. It was a couple houses up from where my mom and dad lived. And now they're both gone here. And so we went there, and the kids weren't there, the mom wasn't there, the dad was at work, but there was a caregiver there, and she was taking care of the mom's sister who had MS, and it was at the later stages of it. That is a terrible, terrible condition, because she couldn't sit up, she couldn't move too well. I mean, she'd try and move her hands and they would shake. And she was in just anguish. And so we're sitting there talking to her. And so pastor, you know, he asked, and the caregiver goes, well, they're not here. And then the pastor, Albert, always trying to be proactive, like, is there anyone here we can talk to? And that lady said, yes, there is, the caregiver. So we went and started talking to her. And Pastor Albert started talking to her about the gospel. Okay. You would think if anyone had a right to be angry and a right to be bitter, it was this poor lady. But that was not the case. So the pastor began to say, you know, you're a sinner, but God has a plan. He has a way for you to be forgiven of your sins so that you can be saved from an eternity of torment and go to heaven someday and be with him. Her eyes got big and everything. I could still see her face. And he said, would you like to be forgiven? And yeah. And so she prayed to receive Christ there. Here's the thing. You talk about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Her face, because of her condition thing, was so contorted and so in anguish because of years of what she had been through to get to the point where she's at. When she prayed that prayer as a sinner's prayer, she took a deep sigh and laid her head back, and there was a look of peace on her face. Only God can do that. Only God can do that.
Yes.
Tohu had been turned to shalom for that lady. So in the weeks to come, she couldn't even read her Bible. She couldn't hold it. Her hand was just shaking. She couldn't do this. So my mom and I, we went and got her like the Bible on tape, and we take it to her. Had the recorder and took it to her. When she passed away, her daughter called and said, "You can come get that tape recorder and the tape and the tapes, because it's big, you know, had like a big sleeve and had all of them there." So I always wondered, you know, I wonder if she had been listening. So when I got them home, I opened up the sleeve, it had all the tapes in there. One wasn't in there, it was in the machine. Which told me she had been listening. She'd been listening. She's doing good today. She's walking with Jesus, she's doing fine. And all these things that bound her and everything in her life here, they're just I don't even know if she has a memory of it to her. She's just praising God every day. I'm walking the streets of gold. I'm doing good. That's what you should be doing. You know, looking forward to the day, of course, when we can go home. But I don't know for you. I want to bring as many people with me as I can. As many people as I can bring with me. I want to do that.
Let's make heaven crowded.
Yeah, I want to be crowded. My father's got a big old house. And I think he's got some room for everybody there. Let's pray. And I'm sorry I went on and on, but thank you for being here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Father, we're so thankful that you're a God who saves. And Father, you want to bring shalom, peace, out of tohu. And Father, we have tohu in our lives. We got stuff. And Father, you can fix that. And Father, you've called us to be those who go and bring shalom to others. You know, we can cultivate shalom. We just got to be willing to go to the other side. So help us, give us the courage to do that. And when we do, and we see changes in people's lives, let us give you the praise, because it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you all.